We were still floundering around in Vietnam when I was working at the commission. So President Nixon held televised news conferences at noon to keep morale high on the home front, especially among the minions who worked for the government. So we would sit at one of those long tables in a boardroom during our lunch breaks with the television set up at one end of it, and it would be just like our president was there speaking to us. There were no more than four or five of us watching him speak, the true believers and me. The rest of the commission obviously had better things to do. I always got a kick out of listening to Nixon speak. For a guy who never really seemed comfortable in his own skin, he could sure sling the shit. At one point, we were bombing the hell out of Cambodia and North Vietnam, and the president essentially said, "War is peace." You've got to love politicians. When they get on a roll, they don't ever let the truth get in the way of their agenda. When I heard the "war is peace" comment, I could not stop laughing. This really upset the true believers. They were incensed that I would laugh at their fearless leader. One guy in particular who was, and I hate to use this word, but the guy definitely was chubby, took offense. Well, the tubby Republican stood up and challenged me to go outside and fight him. "Yeah," I told him. "Why don't we fight?" Because I laughed at a completely idiotic statement made by your oh-so-fearless leader. Weren't you listening to what he said? Or doesn't it matter? Let's have a fist fight over a war. Now that's smart. And let's do it on government time. So we participated in my favorite cardiovascular activity. We screamed at each other. War always brings out the best in people. When not engaged in socio-political debates, I had a myriad of responsibilities. I was once assigned the job of cleaning out a closet, which was something I was more than qualified to do. When I pulled everything out, they decided that they didn't want any of it thrown out. So they had me take it 30 feet across the room and put the stuff in another closet. I spent 2 days of my life and the government's money moving crap from one closet to another. America was now a better place. The great thing about being an employee of the government, and I know this irritates the hell out of a lot of people, is that it's almost impossible to get fired once you're in the job. It's really tough. I was nothing more than a pain in the ass to these folks. I'd wander from office to office, bothering them with question after question. All the questions boiled down to one. What the hell are you people up to? And still no one wanted to get rid of me. I don't know if I provided a certain amount of entertainment value or if it was just too much of a hassle for them to do the paperwork. But no matter what I did, they wouldn't fire me. During my last few weeks there, I saw the budget that had been drawn up for Appalachia by the commission. Most of the budget went toward building roads. That's one way to build an economy. But these people needed a lot more help than just highways. Like a car. And why were they proposing to build these highways? To accommodate the tourists who would be flocking to Appalachia to play golf. That's right, they were planning to resurrect the economy of the Appalachian region by building golf courses. You've got to love a country and a government that believes a poverty-stricken area could be raised from years of economic decimation by building a series of country clubs. What planet were these people living on? The whole idea was beyond belief. You might scoff at the idea of sliced golf balls crisscrossing the Appalachian landscape, but you have to be impressed with the unequivocal set of brass balls it took to come up with that plan.